Well, we have been studying and looking at the aspect of I choose to honor God the last several weeks, and we'll continue to go with that with a thought tonight, the place of honor. Tonight will be just kind of an introduction, and we'll have our points. So tonight's more of an introduction, just don't have time to get through all of it. So it may be a two or three part as I continue to work on this. But tonight, just the aspect or the introduction, of the place of honor. What do you think of when you think of honor? What are some things that come to your mind? What are some things if you don't think about, if you think about the secular world and you think about Bible times and the differences? I know when we were missionaries overseas in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, that honor, respect, and titles were very important. I mean, my friend just wasn't, his name just wasn't Sasha. He was Sasha the engineer. And they had their business cards, they had their name, whether it be a doctorate degree, a bachelor's degree, or a PhD. It was very important them for them to be recognized by their degree. And my friend who was an engineer also rolled up his sleeves and did the dirty work of being an engineer, not just drawing out the diagrams, but getting in there, getting the footers in on the building and mixing the concrete and just getting in with it. But still, he might be dirty, he might be head to toe with sand and concrete, but he's an engineer. And that was very important to them. Doctors, lawyers, whatever their profession was, it was important. And they would correct you if you just referred to them or introduced them to someone else about their about who they were. They would always make sure you let them know that, hey, I'm an engineer, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, or whatever the case may be. And in return, they did the same thing. They would always, anywhere, if I visited their home or saw them downtown somewhere, they would always introduce me as their pastor. Not, he's our pastor, and he has a degree. You know, education was really important to them. But if we're not careful, and I think we live in a time in a world today where honor has been turned upside down. I mean, people don't recognize, they're not willing. They want honor, they want recognition, but they don't want to give any. So a little bit of an introduction tonight. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18 and verse 12. If you have their handouts, I believe I put all the scripture reference in that for tonight. But if we ran out and you did not get one, Proverbs 18, 12, and we'll talk a little bit tonight about the introduction of the place of honor. The Bible says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and for your grace. Pray that you help me tonight. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Father, help us as we go through, and Lord, and not in a rush, but taking our time and going through and having some time and looking at the aspect and reflecting on honor and what the Bible has to say. Father, now bless, now help me tonight. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The word honor is found 146 times in the Word of God. 91 times we find it in the Old Testament and 55 times in the New Testament. And I don't think it's so much of the importance of it's there, but and how honor should be used and how it should be recognized. When it comes to honor, we often think that we are in the right place. You know, we're ready to receive some honor, but not always ready to give it in the right way. However, an honest evaluation may show that we have honored ourselves. I mean, folks, I don't know about you, but I've probably been guilty myself, but I know I've met a lot of people that just about put their shoulder out of the joint by patting herself on the back. You know, we bring it and we want it and to the point we want to give it to ourselves. John chapter 5 and verse number 44. John 5, 44, Jesus said, how can ye believe which receiveth honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, and again, I've said this and made mention of this on several different occasions. Let's not be so much concerned about our relationships out here. I mean, it's important that we have them. But when our relationship is right this way, this will fall into place naturally. And we need to make sure that we're honoring Him and we're doing the things that God would have us to do and let the rest take care of itself. Sometimes it can be difficult, it can be hard, but I think it's still worth attempting to. Here in this verse, the Pharisees were looking for honor in the wrong place. True honor could not be found in one another. It must come from God. Dear friends, I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord, and it's nice to have recognition. It was nice to have that pastor appreciation. But more than anything, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My job is to do my best in honoring him. And if I do that, we do that. Those around us at times may very well respect, honor, or give honor where it's due, but I'm more concerned about honoring him. See, everything has a prelude. Before destruction comes pride. Before honor comes humility. After honor, any honor that we may receive should only be after we give honor to God. So often it's backwards. Somebody gets recognized and they say, "Well, I want to praise the Lord for the talent and the ability." It's kind of hard to honor God before that, but if we're honoring God on a daily basis, it's going to be done anyway. It's taking that opportunity to honor God and praising him and not looking for the honor of man. We often have a false perception of what it is that God is calling us to be. Folks, the very calling of God on my life to be a pastor, Brother Oshigo to be a missionary, others that we, missionaries that we support and men and evangelists that come through our church, their calling is no less than the calling that God has put on your, no more, excuse me, than the calling that God has put on your life. Your calling is no less than the calling God has put on someone who's serving in full-time service. The important thing is, are we where God wants us to be? Doing what God would have us to be, and that's how we honor him. See, when is the last time you evaluated your spiritual life and asked, "What has God called me to be, and am I still being it?" I believe that calling never goes away. Now, a day may come that I may not be able to stand and preach. A day may come that I may not be able to have the means, the health, to be able to continue to pastor. But my calling should not change in some capacity of still serving the Lord and being a blessing to the pastor of the church that I may be involved in retirement or the place I may be in service for the Lord. I can still be a help in that area. Am I still doing what God would have me to be in service? Thankfully, Jesus mercifully and gently dealt with the disciples regarding this matter here. And we'll look at a few places here. See, their pride and left us with a wonderful pattern for true greatness. You know, I really never thought of it, just reading the Bible, and I'm going to give you a little prelude before we read it. But in many aspects, you know, that how would we describe John and James and James and John? They were servants of the Lord. God used them greatly. But according to Scripture, there were times they were looking for honor. They wanted the Lord, you know, "Will you put me in the place of honor?" So are we serving the Lord out of what we get in return, of people recognizing what we're doing? Hey, look at me. I mean, we know our kids do it. The grandkids do it. They're outside on the swing. Look at me. They're outside riding their bike. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I did it. We should serve the Lord no matter who's looking, who's not looking. We should be willing to serve each other and serve others no matter who may recognize what's going on. We had a young man in our church some years ago. His name was Joe. Joe, and I may have mentioned him before, Joe was from Massachusetts, had that far northeast accent, except when he sang. He sounded like George Jones. But when he talked, he did not. But during the wintertime, I noticed there was a season where I would come in and the parking lot was clean. And if we had a lot of snow and it was just overwhelming to do it by shovel, there was paths by every parking place to the front door. If it snowed during the service, we went out and there was paths from the front door to the passenger side and driver's door of every car. And I thought, what a blessing. I thought our landlord had went out and got some people to do that for us. But it took me several weeks to find out it was young Joe that was slipping out toward the end of the service or coming early to shovel. And then I made the mistake, and Joe taught me something. And I found out who did it, and I said something about it. And Joe said, "Pastor, you've been teaching me humility. How can I continue to do what I'm doing if you're going to blab to everybody I'm the one that did it?" Now, he didn't quite say it that way, but you understand what I'm trying to say. He wanted truly to humble himself and to serve his church family without no recognition. He just wanted to be a blessing. And that's where so often we forget the aspect of humility and honor. Notice Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse number 32. And we'll read a good section of this chapter, but we'll break it up in two chunks. Mark 10:32. And they were in the way going to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Without a doubt, there's some misunderstandings. What's going on? I don't understand. But he continues. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day shall he rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Boy, what a bold statement. Lord, we want you to do for us what we want. That's what they were saying. And then in verse 36, and he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, now they're going to make it spiritual. Grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Dear friends, pride is so terribly blinded that even here when Jesus was speaking of the most spiritually significant event that would take place for all of mankind, these disciples were thinking about their own significance after that took place. I mean, they missed the boat. It just kind of went over their head that Jesus was going to be crucified. Okay, you're going to be crucified, you're going to rise again, but where are we going to be sitting there? But folks, we live in that type of society today where people are more concerned, me, 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 or what am I going to get out of it? Not what I can do to help. How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? But what's in it for me? Now, Jesus changes gears here, and we're going to look at verse 42 through 45. And with great patience, he gives them instructions on this manner of honor. Notice what he says beginning in verse 42. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, and I think it even has a connotation of desire, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Did you notice that Jesus did not condemn their desire for greatness? Hey, he switched gears on them here. He simply redefined what was necessary to achieve it. He was redirecting their ambitions. And so often as parents, and especially as men with sons, sometimes we might have to redirect the ambitions of our children, especially our sons, to try to help them. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing here. James and John had gone out and preached. They had performed miracles. They had made sacrifices. They left all to do these things. But the question is, really, can we not begin to wonder and question what their motive was? Was it really for honor, for service, for duty, the opportunity to serve, or what might I get in return? They had recognition as leaders among the disciples, yet they had not found the true place of real honor in their lives. You know, we live in a time today, and I have to be really careful because I'm only human, and I can be a little hard. But at the same time, especially when it comes to other men of God and other churches and other pastors, we have a responsibility, and I alluded to this morning, if you wasn't here. I just don't understand coming to church and seeing a man on the screen preaching and teaching to you that you may never meet in real life or may never see. To me, it's a meeting, it's a building, but how do you call that a church? The Bible says God provides the man of God, the pastor, is a gift. And that being that gift, he should be there and be available. And here these men, in some aspects, sometimes, I think because they have not come to the place of humility, they eventually will be humbled. And we'll see that. And that's what's happened with James and John. They had recognition as leaders among all the disciples, all their peers, yet they had not found the true place of honor. People saw, pastor did not see the idea of the lack of honor because of all that they were doing and the reputation that they had. They were laying down their lives, but not for others. It was for themselves. I think at one time or another, we've seen people like that. Maybe we've been guilty ourselves for doing something for a self-motive. Even today, we find ourselves motivated by self-interest, self-indulgence, self-honor. We have a false sense of self-sufficiency and pursue selfish ambition for the purpose of self-glorification. Folks, I don't know about you. I like being patted on the back and said, I've done a good job. But that should not be the motive for doing what I do. That may be a reward, that may be encouragement, that might be lifting up and encouraging one another, but it's something that we should not be doing in expectation. To me, it's almost like working this way, doing, wanting to serve, and here, with your hand out here on the other end at the same time. Once again, of honor. Again, we have a false sense of self-sufficiency. We pursue selfish ambition for the purpose of self-glorification. We often serve others for the honor of ourselves. We mask it as service for God, but in reality, it is nothing more than a fleshly attempt to appear as something other than what we really are. See, that's the thing about it. My spouse, my sweet wife, my children through the years know me better than anyone else. They know. They're around me. They know what I'm like when I get up in the morning. They know what I'm like at the end of the day. They even know sometimes through the years they begin to figure out when there was problems at the church. They could just see it. Can't always hide it. Can't always cover it up. And folks, if there's anything that we should not want to cover up is the aspect of service and realizing that we're not perfect. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. At times we might need to be humbled, but we should be striving to serve one another as we serve the Lord. Again, that aspect of serving ourselves when we should be serving others. We mask it as service for God, but in reality, it's nothing more than a fleshly attempt to appear as something other than what we really are. Here's a question. What is the opposite characteristic of humility? When we think of humility, what is the opposite? I'm sure we can throw out several things that would be very accurate and true, but I might surprise you tonight. We would be tempted to think that maybe pride or arrogance would fall in that category of an opposite of humility. But instead of it being arrogance, is it not really maybe ignorance? Really not being informed, not understanding, not knowing. James and John, they had some tools, and I think they had the type of personality when they met Jesus and they trusted Christ, they were ready to charge hell with two water pistols. I mean, they had that type of personality. They were ready to go. More zeal than knowledge. And we need to have the zeal, but we also need to have the knowledge and also the aspect of humility and serve for Him and for no other reason. His recognition. We would, again, be tempted to say other things, but let's look at this aspect of maybe really being ignorance. See, it is becoming ignorant of what and who we really are and being ignorant of whom Christ really is. Do we really realize who we are compared to who Christ is? Let's go back to Mark chapter 10 that we're here a while ago. Let's put ourselves in the crowd as the Lord is teaching and talking, and these men are saying, well, where are we going to be? This is what we want. Will you give us what we want? The Bible doesn't tell us. But can you imagine maybe some of the thoughts that were going on with the other men, the other disciples that were there, thinking, wow, can you believe they asked that? I wonder what he's going to do. I don't know. But sometimes we say things and respond and wish we could take it back. The product of ignorance is pride. In writing about pride, I got a few things here. I think I put in your notes in reference to Spurgeon. Notice what Spurgeon said. I might paint it as being the worst malformation of all the monstrous things in creation. It have nothing lovely in it, nothing in proportion, but everything in disorder. It is altogether the very reverse of the creatures which God hath made, which are pure and holy, Pride, the firstborn son of hell, is indeed like its parents, all unclean and vile, and there is neither form, fashion, nor comeliness. Now, folks, you know, the aspect is, a passage of scripture, can't remember, it's that coming to mind, but what do ye more than others? Why do we feel, and why in the society that we live in, everyone feels like they have to be first? They have to be recognized. I am more important to you. I have should have the right of way, therefore I'm going to take the right of way. I can't afford it, but the world's not fair, so I'm just going to go in and take it. And that's where we've been the last couple of years in our world today. People just feel like the world is unfair to me, and what are they doing? They're basically saying, everyone else has been treated better than I have, and therefore I'm going to take what is mine. I don't see how anyone in any sane capacity could come to that conclusion. It's ignorance. It's a lack of understanding. Spurgeon went on to describe it with the following terms. It is a groundless thing. Again, speaking of pride. It is a brainless thing. It is the maddest thing. It is an unstable, uncertain thing. See, we know then what the only way we can honor God is by humbling ourselves. If we're going to be in that place of honor, the place of honor, serving the Lord in the capacity that God would have us to serve, we should not be looking to be put on a pedestal. We should not be looking to be put in a place of honor. We should not be looking for the certificates and the recognition, though at times I think they should be honored and people should be recognized, but I think they should be doing it for the privilege and the mandate of our Lord to serve ye one another, not for something that I might get out of it, and just service. And by the way, folks, we're adults. We're not kids anymore. Kids do things for a reward. Right now, we have a situation with one of our granddaughters who's been acting out a little bit, and though she is potty trained, she has had an accident a couple times last month. And the school said if she has another one, she has to go home for a period of time because you have to be potty trained. So now, little Jovi loves her papaw, but I command a little bit of fear with her. So I had a little talk with Jovi, and I said, Jovi, you know, we love you, but if you have another accident, papaw's picking you up. You're coming with me. You're going to spend the rest of time with me. You're going to come back to the office, and you're not going to be playing. You're going to be sitting in a corner. You're going to be getting my coffee, and you're going to be making my coffee for me. You're going to serve me while I study. She just kind of looked at me. She didn't know what to think. But here's what she got. It won't be fun and games. It won't be fun and games. But after a while, it wasn't too long after that, did she get come home, had a dry day, and first thing she says, do I get a treat? And of course, Grams gave her a treat, but I'm like, all right, I got a congregation full of people. They're going to want a treat because they say dry all week. You know, no, I didn't think that. But, you know, we want something in return for something that we know we're supposed to do anyway. And that aspect of honor and service are things that we should do because it's the right thing to do. And there's nothing wrong. I'm just cutting up a little bit of serving and honoring our kids and our grandkids, doing little things for them. But I couldn't help but to think, she's just will turn four this week. And there's adults that act that way. And it's the society that we live in today. I'm almost finished. Every Christian has a choice between being humble or being humbled. Folks, I don't know about you. One of them is a lot more embarrassing than the other. Either living a life of humility or being humbled. It hurts even when we're humbled in practice. Excuse me, in private. It still can be a little embarrassing. It could be a little uncomfortable, especially when the Lord does it. So, where is the place of honor? It may not be exactly where you think it is. As we also discussed, maybe it's more ignorance than it is pride. So, to keep you sitting there at the circus with a flying trapeze, he just let go with the belt, and he's doing his somersaults, getting ready to add the other one, and we're going to stop right there, and I'll tell you next week. Yes, Brother Leonard. Somehow I knew that was coming. First point under what? Yes. It is groundless thing. Groundless. Brainless, maddest, unstable, or uncertain. I tell you, Mr. Spurgeon told it like it was. So next week we'll begin looking at where the place of honor is according to the Word of God. So often that's why I'm hoping that I can, with our grandchildren, with other families, as our church begins to grow and continues to grow to see families is do what I can to invest in these young people, helping them understand what honor really is. And we need to make sure that others around us are seeing it and recognize it. And I'll close with this illustration. We were in Germany. We had just got out of going to the JAG office to get some legal paperwork signed. And there was a young couple there in the military. Their three children were sitting in the area. And daddy said, kids, you behave. And he spoke to his oldest son, Junior, you're in charge. And told the kids, you listen to your brother. And they went back and spent their time with a lawyer. We got through about the same time. And we were going out. And we stepped in the elevator together. We kind of crowded in. And those kids, they had a couple of disagreements, but when their brother said, that's enough, mom and dad will be upset, you guys need to sit down and be quiet, they conformed. We got into the elevator, got ready to go down, and I looked at the dad, and I said, sir, you don't know me from Adam. I said, I want to tell you, you've got some good kids. They were well-behaved. They sat there as you instructed them to do, and when the little ones got up and got a little loud, as kids will do, they were not too loud in my opinion. When brother said, sit down and be quiet, they responded, you're doing a great job raising your kids. Folks, I tell you what, a tear came to his eye, because I bet you the only times he had heard anything about his kids when somebody was complaining. And you catch somebody doing something right, especially a young person or a child, let them know. Let them know you appreciate you being honorable to your parents and doing the right thing. Because we have a generation coming up that really needs to understand what honor, humility, and those things, and thinking of others and what it means and what the Bible has to say. We don't have to do anything. I didn't invite him to church that day. Said nothing about it. We lived on a small base. But a few days later, I saw him again. And he just smiled and waved at me across the courtyard. And just waved. That was a fella who congratulated me and my wife. And I waved back and pulled up my finger. And I walked over and sat down and talked with him a few moments. And he said, hey, what can I do for you? What do you need? I said, well, if you don't go to church anywhere, I'd love you to be my visitor come Sunday. I rarely ever told anyone I was a pastor. They either found out when they looked at the track, oh, that's you. Or they found out when they got there. I just tried to be a friend and make common ground. But you know, he was more than ready to listen and allow me to give an invitation because of that kind act of encouragement toward his wife and toward his children. Folks, that act of kindness, that act of humility, given that place of honor where it's due, of course, it's always due to the Lord. But even little ones at times can be honored for recognition for doing things right. And if we can do that and remember that place of honor, I think God can help us to make a difference, though our world is waxing worse and worse. Let's pray. Brother Tony, would you dismiss us in prayer?